Welcome to Don't Fucking Tell Me What to Wear or How to Run My Business. This is the Woo Pod. I'm your host, Wendy Gannon, but most people call me Woo. I'm a photographer, ADHDer, female advocate, and let's be honest, an all-round fucking legend. Can you tell I didn't write this script? This podcast is part of Female 5 Million, a movement founded to empower women to step the fuck up, take control, and unapologetically own their space. It all started with some fucking Jebben's LinkedIn post spouting some sexist bullshit about how women should dress to succeed in business. And you know what? Stuff like that really fucks me off. It really fucks me off. So I posted about it, and that post ignited something bigger. A nationwide photography project, a full-blown fucking movement, and now this podcast. Here on the Woo Pod, we're raising the voices of women who refuse to be told what to do. Women who are done playing by the rules and are now saying, don't fucking tell me what to wear or how to run my business. If you've ever been told to tone it down, dress more appropriately, or run your business like a man, fuck that. Expect raw, unfiltered conversations with women who have fought through sexism, abuse, and outdated patriarchal bullshit to build success on their terms, all whilst wearing whatever the fuck they want. Oh, and there's more swearing than our producer is willing to beep out. Sorry, Buckers. Speaking of which, you'll probably hear me ask producer Buckers to chime in from time to time because, like, I give a shit what she says. We've both got ADHD. We bounce well off each other. Deal with it. We're here to celebrate women doing business their way and shine a spotlight on the incredible ways women are fighting back and lifting each other up. Because to be honest, that's what it's all about. And for those who aren't able to speak up right now, for whatever reason, I see you. Okay, let's crack on then.
Hello. Hello there. Hello there, everybody. Welcome to the Woo Pod. The don't fucking tell me what to wear or how to run my business season. Hopefully there'll be another.
I feel like you're reading us a bedtime story. That's lovely.
I'm channeling Tom Hardy.
I'd love to channel Tom Hardy.
Fucking right. Tom Hardy can channel me up the channel. And today's guest is my beautiful friend Hilary Lewis. Hello, Hilary Lewis. How are you, Hilary Lewis?
I'm good. Okay? I'm hot but yeah, I'm all good. I'm excited to be on. Actually, do you know what? It's like one of those things that I've been so nervous to come on. You always have such amazing women. I was like, oh God, what can I talk about? As you know.
Shut. See, look, this is
that's
the whole
why you're here, Hilary.
Point. This is the whole fucking point. Everybody's got something to say. Everybody's a strong fucking woman. What the fuck are you talking about? You're a powerhouse.
Well, yeah, I know, but I think it's that thing, isn't it? You don't really see. Like, I think where I've come, I feel like I've come in so late. I've come in to corporate or, you know, I owned my own business for such a long time. And I think that it just really threw me joining like corporate. And I don't.
So you think that you're putting yourself underneath these women who have been in corporate and now started their own businesses when you had your own business for fucking businesses for fucking years, then went into corporate, smashed the shit out of it, did your own events, like started fucking all of these networking things, and you're like, sorry, what?
Yeah. When you put it like that, it does sound like 10 shades of batshit, but I just think you do, don't you? Like, I think it's really common for whatever you're, it's not even that I compare, because I'm very good at just doing my own thing, but I just don't see any of my achievements or anything that I've done. Like, sometimes my friends, they're like, you're like, some of the stuff you've done is like, quite it's actually unreal. I know it's such a stupid thing to be like, oh, it's just like the, for example, the top 50 women in accounting. Like the fact that I have that and I'm not even actually an accountant is sometimes when I think about it.
Exactly.
But yeah, I still just feel like, oh, I don't know. I don't even know.
Sorry, Hillary Lewis, you spoke at Accountex. You spoke at Accountex last year and they invited you back to do fucking workshops that was fucking sold out, that was fully booked, people going out the doors.
Yeah, I know.
Right,
I just,
so take a good, long, hard look at yourself, please.
It's not even like, I don't know, it's just one of those things, isn't it? I think sometimes it's not, I wouldn't even necessarily class it as imposter syndrome. I just, it's almost like, oh, that it's, I get that so many people find it so like cringeworthy when you make yourself visible and you do stuff and like to talk about yourself. I think that's the thing. Like I'm everyone else's hype woman. Like I'm so impressed. I'm so in awe of so many of the women that I work with and meet and see on a daily basis. I suppose I just don't see my own achievements in the same light.
Yeah. And I get that. But what I'm just trying to tell you is that you deserve to have this space and your voice and you're wonderful. So what do you do, Hillary Lewis?
Well, I have just joined the Digital Accountants Club. So I'm their community manager. So I have literally just joined. So my role is being defined. I'm building it as we go. But basically, as I explained to my eight-year-old this morning, mummy's new job is that she gets to look after people, which really sits well with me because that's what I've done for years. And actually bringing people together and for them to get like the most out of the community, not just like they're learning all the time about like AI and the digital and the tech side of things, which is not really my bag at all, but the bringing people together and actually getting them to really enjoy and I'm like the glue. That's the best way to describe it. I'm the glue that will hold everyone
together. You really are. Can you talk me through I want to hear some of the things you've achieved. You started off in beauty. You had your own salon.
Yeah.
And then you went into finance.
Yes.
How was that?
Mental. So it was a bit mind blowing, really, because so I started my beauty salon at 22 and I owned it for 15 years.
Wow.
And I did have another business alongside that was like a vacation rental property business over in the US. So very much like hospitality, beauty, nothing to do with finance at all. And then had my kids and was like, I can't spend this long with my children. They drive me nuts. So I need to go back once they start school. And I basically joined and was like, I need to learn how to do my job. Like I'd not, it's that again, this going back to this, like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. I had that thing of like, while I'd marketed my own businesses, I was going in solely to market a finance company, which I've never done. And I didn't really know where to start. And I was a bit like, oh, and I know how to market. I've done it for myself, but just not done it for someone else. So I was a bit like, I would like to meet other women in the industry. Where are they? And they were like, oh, well, finance, there's not many women in the industry. Like there's very few. And I think for me, I just feel more comfortable saying to another woman, can you help me? I don't really know what I'm doing. Like I think as a woman going into a male environment, sometimes that can feel like, I don't know, you can get a bit like sometimes they can mansplain and sometimes they can be very patronizing with like how they talk to you. But also I think you can, if you discredit yourself like that and say, oh, actually, I don't feel like I know what I'm doing. They won't necessarily nurture you in the same way that a woman would. Like coming from beauty, it's predominantly women. Like, and there's far more collaborative. There's not that much competition. You know, all the local salons, the owners tend to know each other, like the therapists know each other, you'll go in and, you know, most people have treatments in other places to kind of you know, people think it's a busman's holiday, but actually it's like that market research and not just understanding what other people are doing. And there's a lot of like collaboration when new treatments and trends come out. And I guess I was like, well, I want to meet other women in the industry. Where are the networking events? And they were like, oh, well, you can go to this, this and this. And they were all like 7 o'clock in the evening drinks or 7:30 in the morning breakfast club. And I'm like, well, I can't do either of those. I'm a mum with kids. I've got like them to get to school and sort out and bedtime to do. I'm not prepared to miss any of that. And I was like, well, I'm going to start my own then. And that's kind of what happened. I started doing like, oh, I think I did a women in finance spa day because that's my like, obviously my known safety net. And I was like, oh, that people like that. And yeah, did that to start with, and then moved over to like networking brunches where I could get more women in together. And it was just really, really helpful to understand not only my role, but the experiences that other women were having in the industry. And I was shocked, like literally blew my mind, because again, I don't know if I was naive, but coming from a predominantly female industry, I didn't really think, I thought that like sexism, because I started at 22, you've got to kind of go back. Like I didn't think it was as much of a thing, because I was like, there was all women around me. My clients were mainly women. All the other business owners I knew and like collaborated with and stuff, they were all women. Like and on a social side, I never really experienced sexism or misogyny at all. And so I kind of had grown up in that space and just didn't see it. And I thought like, oh, these women that bang on about equality, like, I'm, you know, we're there now. Like, what are they talking about? Boom, boom, boom. And it really was. Like, listening to the other women in the industry, like, I must put my hands up and say, I have been exceptionally lucky. But that's because I built the space that I was surrounding myself in. So I don't think I really experienced anything negative and that side of things. But listening to the other women, and that's across finance. It's not just, so that's like accountants, women who work in, you know, bookkeeping, women who work for lenders. They all had very similar stories. And it was just like, oh, a real like patriarchy sucks moment. And I think I never really classed myself as a feminist, but the more I was like, hang on a minute, this isn't right. None of this is right. They shouldn't be experiencing this. And then I kind of started vocalizing that in the content that I was producing on LinkedIn, and it just kind of escalated. And then I obviously met people like you and was like, oh, this is, it's not just finance that this is a problem. It's like across the board.
Absolutely. Didn't you start something? What brunch was it that I kept meaning to join and come down to?
Oh, the Corporate Ladies Club. Yes.
Corporate fucking Ladies Club.
Yeah. I think we've got about 400 members now. I haven't actually checked. So I'm one of the founding members. Basically, there's a lady, Diane Gill, who works for Sage House Tangmere. They're an amazing dementia support charity, and they basically have a facility. It's one of the, they've now got two in the country, but top-notch facilities that help support those living with dementia and the families that live with them. And I'd got friendly with her, and I did a lot at Goodwood. And then one of the, like the estate manager at Goodwood, the Goodwood Estate, messaged me and was like, oh, I've just met a really nice solicitor and she wants to do more networking. And I told her that you and Diane would take her to lunch. And we were like, yes, definitely. That's, you know, what we need to do. And when we got chatting with Louise Turner, who's a very good false allegation specialist, she and I and Diane were saying like, this is ridiculous. There should be more like female networking that's inclusive, that isn't around the 7 a.m. mark and or the 7 p.m. or that is going to affect like the school run. And we basically said, well, let's just invite people to like a small thing. I think we started with like 30 members, and we had, we always have the same format. So free flow networking, then an inspirational female speaker. So it's someone who's just going to talk about their life and some of the journey that they've had. And then we have a paid like a sponsored position where one of the members within the club can get up and just tell everyone a bit more about their business and what they do and how the way that they run things, and then a little bit more networking at the end. And it's just like escalated really quickly. So we were bi-monthly, and then we ended up going monthly, and now we're monthly plus like golf lessons and bits and pieces in between. And the nicest thing about it is it's raised so much money for the charity, because the way that we do it is that we just everyone just pays £10 to come and attend. So it's limited numbers. So you'd be a member and you can get the whole list of what the events, but once those places have gone, you can't, like, you're booked, and they're always fully booked. So they range from like 40 people to around 70. And then I think our summer soiree normally has about 130 people attend. So yeah, it's like, it's been phenomenal, but really good for women in the local area.
Do you remember when you said that you weren't like, what you're going to talk about, you don't think you should be on this podcast?
Well, yeah, I know. When you put it like that, but to be fair, I don't really feel like me. I feel like Diane does loads more for it than I do. I'm just like, oh, I'm a founding member, where she's like, oh, you know.
Right, right, let's fucking stop this talking, right? Stop it. You fucking... I feel like this is more than that. I don't feel like I could do this. Da-da-da-da-da. Stop it.
Okay, will do.
Hilary, you came to the Female 5 Million photo shoot in London, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
How did you find
incredible.
It?
Incredible. Like, blew my socks off. And it was one of those moments, like, that you walked into the space. It was a very cool space. Music was blaring. Like, the vibe was just down. And there were other women in there that I knew, like, straight away. And we were all, like, everyone was chatting and gassing each other up. And then, like, Rebecca Pay came in, took her clothes off and spun around a pole. It was just, like, crazy. Like, you can't, but I can't vocalise. I'm one of these people that's, like, I'm very expressive with my face. And that is just literally what, it was just like, come on.
Yeah.
You know, when you're just like, oh, my God, so good.
The whole thing was just,
yeah, it was.
Accurate. Oh. That was very accurate.
There is something that I really do want to talk about. Your mum.
My mum? Oh, God. Hi, mum. She's going to watch this. She watches everything.
Hi, mum. I love you. Now, Hilary explained to me that her mum, you say it.
She gave me a lift.
I'm going to put words in your mouth.
I think this is what you're talking about. My mum gave me a lift to the station on the day of the shoot. And my mum, a little bit of a backstory. My mum was an English teacher. She's quite, like, I don't know if she would consider herself prim and proper, but I think most of my friends consider her prim and proper. Like, my husband, when he first met, he was like, God, your mum sounds like the Queen. Like, she's quite, I do a very accurate impression, which I think she will hate me for if I do, but she was like, I get in the car and she was like, so where am I taking you today? And I was like, oh, well, I'm going to a photo shoot, mum. My mum's in her 70s as well. Again, she's going to hate me. I'm so sorry, mum. And she was like, oh, what are you doing there? More lunching. And I was like, well, no, actually, I'm going to a photo shoot. And she was like, oh, is that for work? And I said, well, actually, it's this thing. It's called the Female 5 Million. We've basically, my friend Wendy, she spotted online there was this absolute horrible idiot man who said that women should cover up and shouldn't, like, if they want to act professional, they shouldn't be, they should be dressed to their neck and like a Victorian. And that's how I worded it to her. And she was like,
yeah.
Oh. She said, so what are you going to, like, she's like, well, you look nice. What's everyone else going to wear? I said, well, there's mum, there's women from all different sorts of professions, and some work from home, some work, you know, they might be in their gym gear. They're all, you know, and she's like, well, I think it's amazing. They can wear exactly what they want. And she was like, well, I think that's disgusting. Like, you can't say that. I want, you know, I think it's incredible what Wendy's doing, and that I think it's, you know, they can bloody well wear what they want if they're in their bra and pants and they're still professional or something along those lines. Is that what she said?
What a legend. And so you've started all of these networking things. So you've started this networking group. You're going to be a community manager. do you think it is difficult for women to network, or more difficult for women to network? Talk to me. Talk to me about that, Terry.
I think. I think that women find it really hard to network. I think, again, the system of networking has generally been, you know, made by men for men, which suits them, great. But if you are a working mum, or if the, it's not just working mums. I always feel like, oh, you know, but if you've got a school run,
that's
to
your
do,
lived experience.
Yeah, my lived experience.
That's your lived experience. Yeah.
If you've got a school run to do, or a school pickup to do, or a family, or a, you know, it's a dog that you have to go and feed at 7 o'clock at night, and you're tired, like, I don't think network for me. Networking is part of my job. I do not. I have enough friends. I don't want to go there for friendships. They sometimes come as a byproduct, which is fantastic, but that's not who I choose or how I choose to socialize. I consider that work. And I think that all networking should be done within working hours. Like, I think that's a massive thing. And so many networking events aren't. So yeah. I feel like, I think that the issues that women face more is that not only is the networking event at an inconvenient time for their lifestyle, mm-hmm. it generally mixed networking, because it's not convenient for women, less women will attend that event. So sometimes when you get to an event, you might be one of five women in the room. And then you have like all the other extra things that layer on that. Like, again, going back to outfits and what I'm wearing, like if you are one of five women in a room and you're wearing a low cut top and everyone is in a high cut like neck top, are you going to be the one mm-hmm. that is remembered for wearing the low cut top or the short skirt, or are you the one in heels, or are you the one who's got makeup on, like you're trying too hard? Like, there's so much that comes with it, and not necessarily that that's men making us feel like that. That's a lot of that pressure that we're putting on ourselves. Like, how are we going to be perceived when we get into this like meat market at, you know, it's just, it's not a nice feeling. And I think that is very off-putting for women. And I think that, you know, a lot of men, not a lot of people sometimes say like, oh, why is there a need for female networking? Why are there female-only events? Well, I think that a lot of that comes from just feeling like a safe space to say, God, I'm boiling today. Like, oh, it's not the heat, it's the menopause. Or and not feeling like you're suddenly judged for the way that you're, you know, well, the way that you're speaking. And I've obviously I've started with all female networking. That's, but my networking has progressed, and I've put on mixed events, and the mixed events I've put on or been involved with have actually been a very 50-50 split of men and women, which is kind of unheard of. You don't normally get that. And those events, they've been received so well because there is a very nice mix, and there is a friendly, welcoming environment. But it's very hard to get the balance right. You know, not, I think networking is all about your audience. And this is where, like, for me, my community manager position, I'm not worrying about what other communities are doing, what other community managers are doing. Like, I've never done this role before. I'm going in with so much enthusiasm. I can't wait to kind of crack on and get started with it. But my first port of call will be to interview the members, to really get to know them, to understand what books they read, what music they like the stuff that seems trivial to a lot of people, but actually they're the thoughtful things. Like, if you can center your event around the people that you want to attend and make it solely for them, then they are going to have a good time. And it's all about that. Like, any sort of marketing should be, or business should be, about your client and the client experience and how they're going to enjoy it. And if you're thinking about making something for men, then it doesn't matter if that it's at, you know, 7 in the morning, because most of the men don't have the school run to do, you know, or less men have the school run to do. And so this is why I think that patriarchy has played a massive part in the way that networking has a negative impact on women, and why it's so difficult for women to get involved in it and feel comfortable doing it, because before, the system has been completely geared up to men and men's lives and the way that they work, which is fine when it was just men in the workplace. Mm-hmm. But there's not just men in the workplace now. We're in 2025, you know. So that's why it's making inclusive events so important.
Yeah, I love your events. So the first event, Buckers, that I Hillary invited me to, was that the first time we met?
Like in person, yeah.
In the flesh. So Hillary invited me to a yacht day. A yacht day.
I really enjoyed that.
Fucking brilliant. So,
so is this a networking event on a yacht?
Yeah. This...
Kind of. I mean, I got business out of it.
So for the company I worked with at the time, for them, it was like a multifunctional campaign. So for me, it was a marketing campaign. So the people that I had on the yacht were mainly a mixture of useful connections, as in people who work with accountants, influencers as such, but key influencers in industries that we want to work in or work with. And the way that the event worked is that the people who were going to attend, not only would they have a fabulous yacht day, they would get to mingle with each other and promote their own businesses and have the opportunity to collaborate and move forward with each other. But gain visibility through. So it was quite strategic. There were, you know, we had members from different backgrounds that would, if they did work together, could really boost their businesses, basically their presence, whether, you know, like getting photos with Wendy, for example. If they didn't already have brand photos, then it positioned Wendy as the perfect choice for them to then work with, because they would have got to know, like, and love her and be like, oh, she's amazing, I need to work with this woman. But the added element was the fact that everyone who went on that yacht day spoke about it on LinkedIn and shared. So it was fantastic for brand visibility. Like, straight away, the whole feed on LinkedIn, like the next week, I think, was just full of these amazing yacht photos. And the amount of people that were then messaging me going, oh my God, this looks incredible, I want it, next one you do, I want in, kind of thing, which is, you know, very good for brand awareness. But since then, like, the actual company, from our point of view, we got business out of it. It positioned us, I might have got on the Accountex stage before that, but it certainly positioned me in a really good way with the Accountex organizers, because they were on the yacht. In fact, I think a number of people who were on that yacht day have since spoken at Accountex. So, you know, it's things like that, networking.
I have.
Yeah, you have. I think Rosalia did. McGinley has. Like, I think that's the thing, isn't it? Sometimes networking done in the right way can open up so many doors, and it's not necessarily like an immediate win. You're always playing the long game with networking, generally. But yeah, different events, you can track. Like, I'm very much about the data. Like, I love all the creative stuff, but for me, there's no point doing any marketing events if they're not working. And it's all right to go, actually, that was a lot of fun. We did it, we tried it, and then it's not given us the return that we wanted. We won't do that again. But sometimes you just have to do trial and error. And for me, the yacht days, I think they were a massive hit. The direct business and the visibility that we got from them, and the collaborations. You know, like, I think you really stay in people's minds if you're doing things like that as a business. You know, if you know,
it's something different, right?
It's something different. It stands out, and it's, you know, it's also nice that it wasn't completely centered around like alcohol and drinking, and like it gave us a 100% chance to really get to know each other, but in a very like relaxed way. And something different.
Beautiful. Yeah, you're really, really thoughtful about your greater introduction. So we do an event together called Elevate, don't we? And that's where we met Buckers.
That's where I met you guys.
and So I've done that with you. And I, like when we were planning it, you're really, what was the word I just used?
Thoughtful.
Yeah, I'm strategic.
You're really thoughtful.
Strategic, yeah.
Strategic. It just sounds really worky.
Yeah,
you're thoughtful and strategic. You like it, don't you? I'm well strategic.
Hillary, yeah, strategic Lewis.
She is really good. But also, like, not only strategic on the way that it's going to help them and help you and help us, but also thoughtful on who's going to get on with each other and make friendships and those actual real bonds.
Yeah.
And like the London Collective, Hillary and Ruby.
Yes.
Work together. So when you get there, you get a coloured lanyard, Buckers, with obviously your name on.
I'm immediately in. I want it.
Yeah. Who like you go and talk to? So you go and talk to the same people,
the same colour,
and like there's probably a collaboration that can happen, or you should probably talk to this person.
What a great idea!
Fucking good.
Because how overwhelming does it feel to walk into a networking event, mixed or same gender, either way, and know, all I've got to do is just go up to someone and start talking to them. How hard could it be? And you walk into the room when there's like 20 or 30 people there. How do you make a decision as to who to go and talk to? Do you pick somebody who's wearing like a nice jacket? Do you pick somebody that looks a similar age to you? Do you pick someone because based on whether they're at the coffee bar or the biscuit table, like how do you decide who to go and talk to? But giving people like that kind of initial nudge.
Yeah. It's just a bit
like
direction.
Give them an in to be like, oh, you appear to be a purple. I'm a purple. Let's chat.
Yeah.
Shall I tell you how
such
I do it?
Such a great idea. Go on.
So when I'm networking, so I've got little Moo business cards. They're mini cards. So it's like half the height of a normal card, but the same width. And I've all got my photos, different photos on. So if I see anybody talking, well, I'll literally go around to everybody and I'll find them out and I'll go pick a card, any card, and they're like, oh, there's a magician here or something. They're like, what's this? Okay, just pick a card. And they pick a card and they look at it and I go, oh, that's nice. And I turn it over and it's just my details. I'm like, there you go. So I can literally just jump into any conversation that anybody's having and then I can gauge like if I'm vibing with them, like if they're a dick or not, and then I'll fucking go back and talk to them later or talk to them there.
The good thing with that, though, is that they will have, if they've looked at, they don't know that they're your photos, do they, when they're looking through. So the good thing for you is if you can remember which photo they've picked, it almost gives you, because your photos can be, like, are very varied, aren't they? Like, how they look. But if they, like, vibe, if they've chosen that card, that actually says a lot about them. Like, I love, like,
I hadn't even thought about that.
Oh, well, this is what I mean. Like, for me, I love the neuro, like, marketing or the, like, neuroscience, basically. And I just think the way that the psychology, the way that the human brain works is so clever. But actually, there's so many things that you give away as and an individual that you don't necessarily realize. It's all subconscious, but if you can tap into that, so from your point of view, if you can tap into this, if they're looking at a whole array of your photos and they've picked one that's really resonated with them, then that type of photo probably says quite a lot about them as a person.
Great conversation starter.
So then if I'm doing, so then I could work out which group to put them in on my newsletter and send them newsletters with that type of photo.
Yeah.
You're so fucking clever.
She's bloody good, isn't she?
Yeah. That's how I would, like, if you can monitor it, you just kind of get, if it's just a way of like.
Well, I can monitor it, can't I? Because then I could
you
just
could QR
print
code
out.
It, technically, if you really
QR
to
code it.
It
to a specific type of newsletter.
Yeah. So you then have like your, it's like your zodiac sign of you. And you'd be like, oh, there.
Oh, my God. We've only got 4 minutes left and I want to talk about this.
Women are so clever.
Women are so fucking clever. Hillary, you're the best. Right. Hillary, two questions before we go.
Okay.
one question. Have you got a story, a positive story of the men?
Oh, my husband's amazing.
You got positive. Tell me all about your husband. I've met him.
Well,
it was really awkward because you left us alone. We were just like, nah, I'm going to go now.
He'd had a very long day. Both of us had. But as in, like, you and him. No, so I met my husband. We had a bit of a whirlwind romance. I met my husband at Bognor Regis Police Station, but it was at a it was an engagement party, so it was fine. I wasn't arrested.
Imagine having an engagement party at a police station.
They had a function room at the back, and I didn't know. We were set up technically as like a blind date. Someone I went to school with took me to meet Steve, and we met, and we had a very funny meet cute as well. It's not a boring story. I love it, but basically, I was told my guy friend from school. He was like, "Oh, come to this party with me." His fiance at the time, she was away for the weekend, and he was like, "I don't want to go on my own, but there might be like a nice guy there for you." And I was like, "Okay." And he picked me up, and he was like, "Oh yeah, well I've met my mate Steve. I've told him all about you. You'll meet him tonight." So I was like, "Oh okay." When we get there, I was like, "Oh, I'll go and get the drinks in because you drove. I will go and buy the beer." And I get to the bar, and I'm only 5'1". And I turn around to like check my, like see where he sat, like check what he wants. And the guy behind me is like making fun of how short I am to his mate over the other side of the thing. And I was like, see how, like a bit of a to and fro, get my drinks and I go and sit to the table. And my friend Paul, the one who set us up, I'm sat with him. And he was like, oh, he looks up and he's like, "Oh, look, here comes Steve now." And I was like, looked up and I was like, "Oh, we've already met." So the guy who would have been taking the mick at me. But we hit it off straight away, spent all night talking about dogs. And then, we got engaged a year later and then married two months after that in a helicopter in Vegas at the Strip at night, just the two of us. Like very whirlwind romance. And yeah, we've been married, it'll be nearly 16 years now. But he has been my absolute rock. So like throughout our marriage, he's been fantastic. We really struggled to have our children. And he is like, he's been always been so good with me. With all like this crazy, my next level of like crazy that I do. But he's always been so grounding. Like before we got on here, I had an absolute flap because I'm not using my usual laptop and I needed to download Chrome. And I was just like, oh my God. And he works from home as well. So we're now like co-workers. We always laugh about that. And I literally was like, oh my God. And he's like, it's fine. Calm down. I'll sort it. And came in and did it all. And he was like, right, can I go now? I was like, yes, you can go now. But he's always there. And I think that's what you need, isn't it? Someone in your life that you can rely on that can calm you down and be there when you need it. And don't get me wrong, like we drive each other crazy, but I think if you've got someone in your corner like that that will always have your back, even if you've had a major row or whatever, when it comes to the crunch, you know that they would be there to be your technical support man and sort you out so you can go on your podcast. Like,
oh, I love that. Love you, Steve. Right, so the final question, Hilary. You are a very well-dressed lady. Very well-dressed lady. I've taken photographs of you in the most beautiful of outfits. I would like you to describe in as much detail as you can an item of clothing or jewellery or shoes or anything like that, that when you put it on, you feel powerful and amazing and just makes you fucking...
Oh, that's like, you know what? Do you know the thing for me? My true thing. When I came in, so when Steve got in from work today, he said, "You put perfume on." I was like, "Yeah, I put perfume on because I've got my podcast." He's like, "They're not gonna. It's not smell-o-vision." And I was like, "Well, I know that.
It's not the point."
It just makes me feel. So actually, for me, it's not my wardrobe at all. Like, don't get me wrong, I like to dress nicely, but for me to feel like that whole thing, and it is like, I would say it's like a 5-point, like that sense of smell to feel like, oh yeah, that's my power move, is actually a really nice expensive perfume. And even me saying it, like I wouldn't have thought of that if we hadn't had that conversation, because sometimes you just do it without, like instinctively. But I think on a day to day, I don't always necessarily put it on. But when I've got like an important meeting or something, I'm always like, shh. and I like soak myself.
Yeah, I'm the same. I love that. And and do you know what? That's the same with me, but it hadn't occurred to me.
Yeah.
Have you got a signature scent, or do you have different ones for different kinds of vibes and events?
Yeah. Well, yeah. So I have different ones. So I like I always get it, say it wrong. Carolina Herrera, the good girl, you know, the stiletto.
The shoe.
The shoe, yeah.
In the shoe bottle.
So if anyone wants to send me any, no, I'm joking, but it's that thing.
bless you.
Yeah, I do have like different ones that I like, but that's my the one I wear the most, I would say.
Hilary, thank you so much for coming on. I've really enjoyed it, and you have been fucking brilliant, as brilliant as everyone else.
Thanks. I'll take it. I'm just gonna say thank you. That's what I'm trying to be better at. Just going when I get a compliment. Thank you very much.
You're absolutely good. Right. Thank you, good. And you're welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
I know, yeah.
That's it for today's episode of Don't Fucking Tell Me What to Wear or How to Run My Business on the WooPod with me, Wendy Gannon. This is more than just a podcast. It's part of Female 5 Million. Head to the link in the show notes to find out more about our movement to empower women. If this episode spoke to you in any way, made you laugh, made you cry, or maybe it inspired you, share it with a friend who needs to hear it. Leave us a rating and a review, and let's keep this movement growing. And while I've got you here, my photography is the way that I fight back against the patriarchy. I empower female founders with the confidence to be themselves in their business, to really enjoy their photo shoot and actually love their photos, so then they can grow their business, increase their prices, and get paid what they fucking deserve. If you want to work with me, drop me a message. All the info you need to contact me is in the show notes. Until next time, keep doing you, and remember, you are part of something bigger. Bye!